You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, man, welcome back to the podcast. Pastor John here. Great to have you back with us as we pick up episode 2 in Fathers and Daughters. If you haven't listened to episode 1, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. We'll pick up on a couple of the themes that we started last week. And really today we're going to talk a lot about protection. That as a dad, one of my responsibilities is to protect my daughter. That does include physical protection, although that's not primarily where we're going today. But there are some things I'd like you to think about. Do you know where your daughter's going? Now, just the average week, do you know where your daughter is spending her time? Do you know who she's with? Do you know the kind of influence that she's under? Do you know who she's communicating with? Do you know what's happening on her phone or on her computer? It's a scary reality. I mean, human trafficking is a real thing. It's a growing thing. And there are a lot of evil men out there who prey on young women. My family and I went to see the Ark Encounter in the suburbs of Cincinnati, just over into Kentucky a couple years ago. We spent a couple days in Cincinnati, a couple days in Kentucky at Mammoth Caves and some things like that. And I just remember before we left, I just had a heightened sense of awareness about my daughter. At the time, she was probably 14, and maybe it was even bordering on an unhealthy fear where I wasn't trusting in the Lord, but I just did not want to let her out of my sight. We went to an amusement park while we were there. Again, we went to the Ark Encounter, which is a Christian attraction. You'd think that you could trust the people there, but I just had this ache in my gut for part of it that she might be the target of a kidnapping attempt for sex trafficking. And I don't know that God put that on my heart. That could have just been the enemy. But I was on heightened alert. Now, that could obviously get out of balance. We want to make sure we're trusting God, that God loves our children even more than we do. But it is something we need to be aware of. So physically protecting our daughters is important. Our daughters need to know that when they're with Dad, they don't have to worry about harm, that we would do whatever it takes to stand between them and harm. But what I really want to talk about today is something that I think is more subtle, something that I think you and I can be blind to more than physical protection, and that's protecting our daughters from the lies of the enemy. I almost called this the lies of culture, but it's really, we know that our battle is not against culture, right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Our battle is a spiritual battle. And so I really think this boils down to protecting our daughters from lies that the enemy tries to plant in them. And it takes intentionality, men. We're supposed to speak truth into the lives of our daughters because culture, we know from Romans 12, 2, that the world is trying to conform them to the patterns of this world, but that they can be transformed by renewing their minds, by renewing the way they think. Now, primarily, that should be them reading God's word. For sure, you and I can't take the place of them spending time in God's word, but you and I can speak truth into the lives of our daughters. So let's talk about some important ways we can do that and some areas where I think the enemy is just blasting our daughters with lies right now. The first area is that men and women are different. Culture tries to say that we aren't. Culture is trying to blur the lines between male and female, men and women. Our daughters need to know that the differences between men and women are part of what made His creation very good. They're part of the grand design. It's part of the way the all-knowing, all-powerful, loving God created mankind. He created them male and female. Let's go into Genesis chapter 1, a verse I know many of you are familiar with, all the way back in the beginning, 1:27. So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. Verse 31, it then says, of chapter 1, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Now, if you look at the Genesis account, prior to mankind being created male and female, God had looked at the creation each day, and he said it was good. But now, after mankind, after male and female, he says it is very good. And the differences between male and female are part, I'm not saying it's the only thing, but they're part of what made it very good. I remember several years back, probably 15, 20 years ago now, time always goes by faster than I think it should. There was a commercial, I'm pretty sure it was a Nike commercial. If not, it was another athletic apparel commercial or maybe a Gatorade commercial. It was sports related. And the jingle of the commercial, it was a woman singing, and she said, "Anything boys can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you." And it's just not true. It's just not true. Men, women, we have women I know that listen to this podcast. Look, the reality is it's just not true. There are some things boys are better at on average. And guess what? There are lots of things that girls are better at on average. Now, you might find an outlier, but if you take the whole, you're going to find out there are certain things boys are just better at. You know, in general, boys are stronger and faster and jump higher than girls. Now, there are some girls out there who can outjump this 51-year-old guy. Absolutely. I play volleyball with some young ladies who definitely jump higher than I do, but they don't jump higher than the young men their age who are really good athletes. And again, there are lots of things that girls are better at than guys are. They're better nurturers on average. They're better multitaskers on average. The reality is we should celebrate these differences. We shouldn't try to blur the lines. We should be grateful that women balance out men and men balance out women. I'm so thankful that my wife is not exactly like me, and I'm so thankful that there are things she's better at than I am, and there are things that I'm better at than she is. I hate to say this because I know it's going to be a little crude, but most guys can write their name in the snow better than women can. Every guy who's listening knows what I'm talking about. We've all used the bathroom and we've peed our name in the snow. I would say it's going to be hard pressed for the average woman to do that better than we can do it. Again, maybe that's not the best example, guys, but we could think of dozens where that would be true. So let's celebrate the differences between men and women. Let's talk to our daughters that there are differences and those are good. God knew what he was doing. It's part of his perfect plan. The next area where I think the enemy is trying to lie to our daughters relates to beauty. I hope that you and I would encourage our daughters to have the beauty that doesn't fade. So many of our daughters are believing the lie that outward beauty is the most important thing about them. Now, look, I would not say it's wrong to tell your daughters they're beautiful. We need to reinforce their true beauty, though, doesn't fade, but it increases. They actually become more beautiful as they grow closer to Jesus. Let me read a couple of verses that reinforce this, and then let's just talk through it for a few minutes. Proverbs 31, verses 30 through 31. Charm is deceptive, and beauty does not last. But a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Reward her for all she has done. Let her deeds publicly declare her praise. The reality is beauty, if you're just strictly talking outward beauty, it's not going to last forever. I don't care how many Botox injections you get. I don't care what supplements you take. Eventually, you're going to start to show your age. And I know, you know, 50 is the new 40 and 60 is the new 50, or maybe it's the other way around. I can't remember. But you know what I'm talking about. I mean, everybody's working to look younger. But the reality is eventually you're going to see those wrinkles. Eventually your hair is going to gray. Eventually you're going to get weaker, both men and women. Obviously, this isn't just a woman thing. 1 Peter 3, 3 through 6 is another passage. Don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes. You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. This is how the holy women of old made themselves beautiful. They put their trust in God and accepted the authority of their husbands. For instance, Sarah obeyed her husband Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters when you do what is right without fear of what your husbands might do. Now, I can sense maybe if we do have some women who are listening to this are bristling up and saying, so you want me to call my husband master? No, that's not what I'm saying. Let's unpack that a little bit. I would say it's not wrong to tell our daughters that we think they're beautiful. In fact, men, honestly, I would hope that for every young lady out there, the first man that ever told them how pretty they were was their dad. I hope that you tell your daughter on a regular basis that she's beautiful. But is that the only compliment we give them related to beauty? Do we always tie beauty to how they look? Do you ever tell your daughter how beautiful her mercy is? Do you ever tell her how beautiful her kindness is? Do you compliment her on her integrity, on her perseverance, on her compassion? Because all of those things are beautiful. And that's the kind of beauty that doesn't fade. Society lies to our daughters. So much of it is so fake. All of this social media garbage that's staged and we've got filters put on everything. It's just not realistic. And so many young women are walking around out there and wondering why they don't measure up. And man, I'll tell you, I get heated about it. As a dad of two daughters, when I think about the pressure my daughters are under to look a certain way, weigh a certain amount, and wear a certain type of clothing, and have the right hairstyle, and the right extensions on their eyelashes, or the right nails. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so many of these influencers, they're not even genuine. They don't even look the way they pretend they look. They put implants in their clothing. They take pictures at just the right angle. They add filters to it. It's just not realistic, and it's just not healthy, and it's a lie. It's a deception so many of the times. Now, I want to say again, I'm not saying that our daughters need to call their husbands master. That's a cultural thing. I think that Peter is talking about it. I don't think that applies. Now, I do think that when our daughters marry, they should allow their husbands to lead in the home. I definitely think that is biblical. And I also want to make sure that we don't take gentle and quiet spirit in this passage to mean that our daughters don't get to have an opinion. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean that they're a doormat. Our daughters are allowed to have opinions. I hope their husbands will listen to their opinions in the home. You know, my calling as a husband is to give my life up for my wife like Christ did the church. That means I'm listening to her desires, her hopes, her dreams on a regular basis. I think that gentle and quiet spirit does mean that our daughters are peacemakers. And I think that's one of the things, quite honestly, that on average, women are better at than men. They're better at being peacemakers. I think it also means they encourage and support their husband's leadership. I think it means they aren't overly critical of their husbands or of any of the men in their lives. I don't think your daughter should be overly critical of you as a father. I think she should show you the proper amount of respect. Now, again, guys, I wouldn't want you to blast this at your daughter. I wouldn't want this to be just a lecture where you're telling her all these things. I would encourage you to just have conversations around this, but talk with your daughter about what true beauty is. Talk with your daughter about how the beauty that she can have from becoming more and more Christ-like is beauty that increases with age. It doesn't decrease. I'm not just saying this because I'm on this podcast, but truly, I think my wife is more beautiful than ever because I've lived a life with her. We're going to celebrate our 30th this summer, and I've seen her become more and more Christ-like over these last 30 years. I've seen her gentle and quiet spirit that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3, and it's absolutely beautiful to me. Encourage your daughters to do the same. The next lie that I think culture tries to put on our daughters relates to working. And I think it's important that you and I help our daughters have a proper perspective on work. Motherhood is a noble occupation, and our daughters shouldn't feel less than if they're a stay-at-home mom. Conversely, I will say this. I think historically the church, particularly the American church, has sometimes placed undue guilt on women who work outside the home. The Proverbs 31 example of a wife of noble character, she certainly worked. Now, I know it was a different economy then. I know it was primarily an agrarian economy that people didn't go off to work in the same sense that many of us do now. But you would be hard-pressed to convince me that a woman is not allowed to work outside of the home. So let's just read Proverbs 31, beginning in about verse 10. The author says, "Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She's like a merchant's ship, bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it, and with her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She is energetic and strong, a hard worker. She makes sure her dealings are profitable. Her lamp burns late into the night. Her hands are busy spinning thread, her fingers twisting fiber. She extends a helping hand to the poor and opens her arms to the needy. She has no fear of winter for her household, for everyone has warm clothes. She makes her own bedspreads. She dresses in fine linen and purple gowns. Her husband is well known at the city gates where he sits with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments and sashes to sell to the merchants. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. When she speaks, her words are wise, and she gives instructions with kindness. She carefully watches everything in her household and suffers nothing from laziness. Her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all." There are a couple things that stand out to me in that passage. One, she is obviously industrious. She's a hard worker, but it never seems like that work is out of balance. It doesn't seem like the work comes at the expense of her family. So let's have intentional conversations with our daughters that if they desire to be moms, if really their ultimate goal is to just be a phenomenal wife and mother to her children, that does not make her less than. She is just as valuable as anyone who goes out and works a full-time job or goes into business for themselves. Likewise, if our wives want to work outside of the home, as long as they can balance that well and with the help of their husband, make sure that it's not a detriment to the family, they shouldn't feel guilty about that. Again, this wife described in Proverbs 31, she was industrious. She was an entrepreneur. She's not only making things with her hands, she's buying land and selling land. She's planting vineyards. She's energetic. And says specifically, she's a hard worker. She makes sure that her dealings are profitable. So let's encourage our daughters to be capable. I hate to use the word independent. I don't know that you and I are supposed to teach our children, sons or daughters, to be independent. The reality is all of us at certain times in our lives need others. God created us to be in community, but we should help our daughters be capable. We should allow them to learn skills. We should encourage them to learn skills. We should help them learn some skills. Whether they end up working outside of the home or not, I think we all would recognize the value in that. And I think that that could be demonstrated here in Proverbs 31. I want to talk about one more lie that I think culture and the enemy are trying to put on our daughters, and that's that culture encourages women to use their sexuality to get what they want, and that loose morals lead to freedom. The Bible shows us that God's boundaries are for our good, and rejecting them often leads to bondage, not freedom. Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, depending upon how you were brought up, describing that book, Song of Songs 8:3, Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. I know that's a verse that we repeated over and over to our kids when we did the Passport to Purity weekend that Focus on the Family offers. Now, I talked about the importance of staying in your lane on the last episode. I don't believe that dads should be the ones to have the sex talk with their daughters. I think that is mom's job. And if you don't have a mom in the home, I just would encourage you to find another believer who is a woman that you trust, that your daughter trusts. And I think really that's who should have kind of the nitty-gritty birds and bees talk with your daughter. But you can talk with your daughter about how God's boundaries are for our good. That the reason God puts this boundary in place is because he wants the best for us. When we save ourselves for marriage, we don't enter into marriage with guilt and shame that comes from sleeping around. Our daughters don't devalue themselves. One of the things that I just desire for my daughters is that they would know how valuable they are, that they would know that their purity is so precious, and that they would want to share that with just one man, you know, the man they're going to marry. And that's not even taking into account sexually transmitted diseases. That's not taking into account unwanted pregnancies. That's not taking into account the hard truth that if you sleep around a lot, your spouse may not be the best person in bed. Like that goes both ways for men or women. I mean, the reality is if you sleep around a lot, the chances of you marrying the person who is, you know, best in bed probably aren't very high. And now you're living with that comparison game your whole life. And worse than that, your spouse is living with it. They may not know it, but your spouse is living with that as well. Now, I'm not trying to put this primarily on women. Believe me, when we do the fathers and sons, we're going to address this more. We're going to talk about this more because I think one of the main reasons we see so much promiscuity on behalf of women in our culture is because men were just pigs for so long that we had so many men who weren't really men. They were boys with whiskers, boys with hormones that were out of control, and they didn't take purity seriously. Proverbs 30:20 says, an adulterous woman consumes a man, then wipes her mouth and says, what's wrong with that? Man, I feel like that is where our culture is. That whether it's sex outside of marriage, if you're married, or premarital sex, culture looks at us and says, what's wrong with that? Again, God's boundaries are because he loves us. It's because he wants the best for us. So those are four areas, men, where I'd really challenge you to protect your daughters from the lies that the enemy is trying to pour into them. Now, again, I wouldn't lecture them on these things. I try to be really conversational. I try to really listen to the questions that your daughter brings up. And on a couple of these, like the last one we're talking about purity, again, I would just encourage you to try and stay in your lane. Don't have the specific conversations. It would be better off if your wife had those or another female believer. We would all take a bullet for our daughters, right? When we're walking down the street with our daughter, if we had some shady characters who were on the other side of the street and they crossed over to walk towards us, I think all of us would be on guard. All of us would kind of have that adrenaline rush where we're like, hey, man, if this goes down, I'm going to put myself between my daughter in harm's way. Let's make sure we're doing that same thing with these lies from the enemy. Because again, our primary battle is not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. So in addition to all of these things we've talked about today, men, I just want to encourage you, are you praying regularly for your daughter? Are you on your knees on a regular basis praying for her to not be deceived by the lies of the enemy? Praying that she would grow closer and closer in her walk with Jesus. Praying that you and her would have open communication. Praying that you'd be a good listener, that you'd learn how to discern when she needs to talk and when she needs some space. Well, it's all like our relationship with our wives, right? As husbands, we're supposed to lead through that. And so we need to know sometimes when to kind of try to draw stuff out of our wives. And we need to know sometimes when to just be quiet and just be there for them. And I think the same goes with our daughters. So I encourage you, have some intentional conversations with your daughters this week. Spend some time praying for them and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.